Good evening and welcome once again. Very gratifying to see so many out this evening, but for a special visitation from the Lord. And sang the testimony chorus, my mind went back to 1981. In the audience that night was Mr. Samuel Guy Pinder. Next morning I went to visit him in his home. And he said, Mr. Dougal, when he sang the testimony chorus last night, I felt as small as a mosquito. I felt like crawling under the pew. Well, I said, Mr. Pinder, I'm not here to force you into anything. Mr. Dougal, nobody would force me into anything. I'm coming of my own free will. Eventually, they got down on their knees, and I took a mental note of his prayer that morning, 1981. He said, Lord, when you came into the world, you were a different kind of a man, God incarnate. Please come into my heart and be my Savior and my friend. And the transaction was sealed. Back in Scotland, there's a small town called Anwer. And Samuel Rutherford said, if one soul in Anwer meet me at God's right hand, my heaven will be true heaven in Emmanuel's lap. If one but soul from Spanish Well tonight meets me at God's right hand, my heaven will be true heavens in Emmanuel's lap. Let's turn, please, to the Word of God, to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, chapter 12. I'm reading verse 5. If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace, wherein thou trustest, they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? Then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? Once again, the Lord will bless to us this reading from his precious word. In this verse 5 of Jeremiah chapter 12, there are two phases. First of all, there's the trials of life. And secondly, there is the termination of life. The trials of life and the termination of life in one verse. In the United States, there's a common phrase, there's only two things guaranteed in life, taxes and death. Well, the Word of God has a different presentation. There are two things that we are guaranteed in life. One is full of trouble, and the other is death. Job says, man that is born of a woman is but a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth as a flower and is cut down. He fleeth like a shadow and continueth not. God also says, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. So, my friend, we have an appointment that cannot be broken, and it's essential tonight that we discover where we are, and where we are going, and where we will spend eternity. Troubles, trials of life can be devastating, but death can be an absolute terror. And the challenge goes forth tonight, how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? Well, we know from the Word of God that the River Jordan is a picture of the span of life, from birth to death. The River Jordan has its commencement. It is born on the slopes of Mount Hermon. It laughs its merry morning away on the flowery field of the Hule. It plunges forth with the recklessness of youth into the tangled brakes and muddy marshes of Merode, and from thence full grow, like earnest manhood, with its noisy and bustling activity, it subsides at length into life's sober noonday in the placid Lake of Gennesaret. And it makes an exit from the Sea of Gennesaret and down the inevitable proclivity of old age. And in spite of windings and doublings innumerable, it enters most reluctantly the Sea of Death, or the Dead Sea, where there's an inlet, but there's no outlet. Birth, childhood, manhood, old age, and death, all viewed in this river, Jordan. Over in England, there is a sundial, and on that sundial are these words: tender teen, teachable 20, thrilling 30, fiery 40, boastful 50, serious 60, solemn 70, aching 80, death, the sword, God, eternity. That would embrace every age group, I'm convinced, in this meeting tonight. From teenage to 80, and even the younger. Be assured, you and I must face death, for it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Now, we don't know when you will die, only God knows. We don't know where you will die, only God knows. But I can tell you tonight, on the authority of God's word, how you will die. You'll either die in triumph, or you'll die in tragedy. Either in triumph, or you will die in tragedy. For a few moments, let's think of some who have died in triumph. People who die facing Jordan, and they were looking for the right place. There were those who faced Jordan, death, and they were looking for the right person. And there were those who were facing Jordan, were looking for the right prospect. That's the way to die, to die in fire. There's a man in the book of Genesis, chapter 49 and 50, and his name was Jacob. Jacob was getting old in years. He gathered his sons around him, and he had an exorcism. He said to his sons, "Don't bury me here in the land of Egypt. I want you to bury me with my father. Bury me in Machpelah, in the land of Canaan, with my father and with my mother, Isaac and Rebecca, with my grandfather Abraham and Sarah, my grandmother, and with Leah. But whatever you do, don't bury me in the land of Egypt." He had the desire, as he was crossing Jordan, looking at the right place, the land of promise. That's the way to die. Looking for the land of promise. That was his exercise. Having delivered his request to his boys, the reed that he gathered up his knees, and he gave up the ghost, and he was gathered unto his people. But wait a minute. How can he be gathered unto his people when he's in the land of Egypt? His people were in the land of Canaan. But you see, the moment he died, his spirit and his soul was gathered unto his for the exorcism. What a tremendous entry as he was gathered unto his. That's the way to die, to die in fire. The exorcism and the entry. Then came the emotion. Joseph, when he saw his father dead, he threw his arms around his father and he wept and he kissed him. Treasure in the sight of the Lord is the death of his son. And hearts were touched. Then there was not only the exercise and the entry and the emotion, but there was the infamy. And Joseph got the physicians of Egypt to embalm the body of his father, Jacob. Marvel of marvels, his death so affected the Egyptians, that even the Egyptians, they mourned for 70 days upon the death of this man of God called Jacob. Such was his influence on the land of Egypt. Way back in Scotland, there was a godly Presbyterian minister called Robert Murray McShane, who wrote such hymns as Jehovah Sit Kendal, and When This Passing World Is Done, When It's Sunk on Glaring Sun, When I Wake with Christ on High, looking o'er life's history, not till then shall I fully know, not till then how much I know. When he died at the age of 29 years of age, rugged men, gamblers, and hard-drinking men wept in the streets of Dundee, Scotland, because of the testimony and the godliness of Robert Murray McShane. What an influence! That's the way how to die, to die in fight. And then there was the entreaty by Joseph. He said to Pharaoh, my father wants me to take his remains to the promised land. Pharaoh said, you can go. And all that tremendous entourage. We discover in Genesis 49 that right there, the whole of the land of Egypt was so overwhelmed that the men of Egypt wanted to go to that funeral. And we read there that all the elders of Egypt and all the elders of Israel and all the family of Joseph, they followed that funeral procession all the way from Egypt right to the land of Canaan. You see, friend, he died with his eye on the right place. When he crossed Jordan, he wanted to be at Machpelah, which means a turning back. He knew there would be a resurrection from the dead, and that one day all of God's children who die in sin will be with Christ, which is very part. And the chariots and the horsemen followed that procession right through Abel Mizraim, and it was all the place of weeping, and for 7 days in the land of Canaan, Jacob was mourned for by his boys and all the elders of Egypt and Israel. That's the way to die. To die in silence. Likewise, Jacob's son Joseph, he faced Jordan, he faced death, and he likewise had his eye on the right place. He said to Israel, to the nation, God will visit you and carry up my bones from here. Don't leave me in Egypt. Carry up my bones from hence. And 430 years after Abraham was promised the land of Canaan, God finally visited his people. 2 million Israelites are about to leave the land of Egypt, sheltered under precious blood. And then everything is in order. Children, the family, the cattle, the sheep. Moses said, one thing more. Bring the bones of Joseph. Men might say, why be in comfort with a coffin? You see, God's children are so precious that they cannot remain in Egypt which is a picture of the world in which we live. And for 40 years, they carried the bones of Joseph, step by step, because he had his eye on the right way, the land of promise. Likewise, Moses died in triumph as he faced the River Jordan. And he did not have to cross Jordan alone. He was there on Beth Peor. Was God. God was the undertaker. No other person present at the funeral of Moses. God was the undertaker. And God was the mourner. That God was the writer. He said, my servant Moses is dead. And there has not risen a greater prophet than Moses. And Moses stood on Beth Peor and he looked to the land. God was kind to him, for ultimately he was in the land with Elijah and with Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration. He died looking for the right way. D.L. Moody, when he was facing Jordan, he says, earth received. Heaven open. This is my coronation. This is my paradise. And he was gone. Looking to the right way. Christian Evans, the great Welsh evangelist, he said, heaven is ahead. Drive on. Then he died and he crossed the River Jordan. Not alone, because with him was the Lord. When thou passest through the water, I shall be with thee, and the floods will not overflow thee. Yes, that's the way to God, looking for the right way. For it says there is a land where shadows never given, where sunset glories fade not into night, where weary hearts can win the boon of endless bliss, and faith is lost in sight. A land where long lost faith is sad, a land where sad farewells are never spoken, where every loss of life is riches gained, where stumbling feet at last can find a haven, and hearts are no more dead. Land where those who long for long lost faith, the love of life whose going were astray,